Hi, I'm Alex Bice, Assistant Managing Editor of Cure.
And I'm Brielle Bennion, also Assistant Managing Editor of Cure.
Now, the year 2024 is well, truly, officially underway, and after an incredibly busy 2023, we're looking back at some of the oncology headlines that have already come across in the new year. Now, notably, we have a clinical trial that's been put on hold for a lung cancer drug, a trial that showed that CAR T cell therapy is cost-effective, though still far from cheap, for lymphoma treatment, and a novel drug that is showing promise for the treatment of myelofibrosis. So, Brielle, what's up first?
First up, we have that the Food and Drug Administration placed a clinical hold on the ongoing IOV-LUN-202 trial that is evaluating a novel agent LN-145 TIL for patients with non-small cell lung cancer. With the clinical hold, new patients will not be allowed to enroll on the trial, and those who were previously treated with the drug will continue to be monitored. So the FDA placed the hold on the trial after the death of a patient who was enrolled on the study. According to the FDA, the agency has the power to request that a trial be stopped, and then the sponsor, that's the organization or the drug company that's running the study, can reply via response letter addressing the concerns. Once those concerns are addressed to the FDA, then the FDA then has 30 days to respond and potentially allow for the trial to resume. So this isn't the first time we've seen something like this happen in the oncology space, but you know, it's really up in the air for now as of what is going to happen with this drug moving forward.
Absolutely. And we will be sure to stay tuned to that. And I think this level of transparency is always incredibly appreciated. I mean, we all get very excited when new treatments are approved or when new promising trial results are announced. But the flip side of this coin is also very important to keep in mind as well, that these trials are continuously being evaluated just to see what's happening, to see what's going on.
That's a great point, Alex.
And next up, research published in the journal Blood Advances found that the CAR T cell therapy Breyanzi was found to be a promising and cost-effective treatment option for patients with relapsed or refractory diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, also known as DLBCL. And this study found that the incremental cost-effective ratio of the drug was just over $99,000 per quality-adjusted life year from a healthcare perspective and just over $68,000 from a societal perspective. And both of these numbers are lower than the assumed social willingness to pay up to $100,000 per quality-adjusted life year gained as established by the American Society of Hematology. While Breyanzi was deemed to be cost-effective, CAR T-cell therapies are still far from inexpensive. In fact, the drug cost rose 9% since its initial approval for DLBCL in 2022. And when I was writing up this news, it reminded me of a conversation I had with Lee Greenberger, the chief scientific officer for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, as part of the Cure Speaking Out video series last year. And he also expressed concerns about the price of these drugs.
Can we pay for these therapies? Well, we'll have to see. These therapies are expensive, you know, and we're not talking about $5,000 or $10,000 therapies. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars. Some of the government is going to have to pay, some insurance are going to have to pay, but some of the patients are going to have to pay as well. And the price tags are going to be significant. How are we going to manage that? So that's clearly an unmet need. As we develop all these sophisticated therapies, who's going to pay for them?
So Alex, I know that CAR T cell therapies are super exciting for this patient population. They're known as kind of like a one-stop shop for patients with blood cancer, meaning that you can get them once and then potentially not have to be treated again. However, they are associated with a hefty price tag and some barriers to entry as well. I know that some people have difficulty getting them if they're being treated in a community center. I think these barriers to getting the therapy are slowly getting better, but for sure, these are not inexpensive drugs. I mean, unfortunately, no cancer drugs are really inexpensive from what we've seen.
And I think it's super fascinating that, as we've discussed on the podcast previously, more and more attention is being paid to the pragmatic side of treatment, to quality of life, to cost, to disparities in access. Yes, looking at clinical trial results in a vacuum, in a bubble or in a test tube is all very, very exciting. But then having researchers look at the real world cost in terms of quality of life, in terms of access, in terms of dollars, I think that research is also very, very important.
For sure. I mean, the first step is figuring out, does this drug work? And a lot of these therapies, they are working for the bulk of people. So yeah, that's kind of that next step right now. How are we going to get it to people who need it? What is the cost going to look like? What kind of clinical staff is needed and all that? So I think we'll stay up to date on all of that and more. We cover a lot of financial stuff on Cure. So definitely stay tuned for that.
Yes.
And finally, we have a phase 2 trial that showed fibrosis reduction in some patients with myelofibrosis. So also in the blood cancer space, findings from a phase 2A trial found that a novel drug, GB2064, reduced fibrosis in the bone marrow, thereby slowing cancer progression in patients with myelofibrosis who were previously treated with Jakafi. So myelofibrosis is a disease that affects the body's production of blood cells in the bone marrow. The disease causes scar tissue to grow there, which is a process called fibrosis. By decreasing the amount of fibrosis that occurs, GB2064 has the potential to improve outcomes for this patient population. However, we should note that this trial was completed only in a small number of patients, 10 patients to be exact. So 6 patients had a decrease of fibrosis after receiving the drug for 6 months.
And that's another thing to keep in mind. And another thing we try to do here at Cure is put all these study findings in context. I mean, seeing these really exciting, really compelling trial results is very cool. It's very fun to report on too. But then you look and see, oh, this was in a trial of 10 patients. It's from an admittedly small sample size, meaning this is something that's potentially very meaningful, but certainly warrants further investigation.
Absolutely. So stay tuned for more on that. If the drug company decides to continue studying this drug, we want to see it in bigger populations. We want to see it in phase 3 trials. That's really where these things come to light and the true efficacy of these drugs is revealed in those larger phase 3 trials.
Absolutely. And as always, be sure to stay tuned to Cure Today for all of the latest news from the world of oncology. And until we talk to you next time, I've been Alex Bice.
And I'm Brielle Bunyan.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Cure Today and on X at Cure_Today. And be sure to sign up for Cure's e-newsletter for the latest in cancer updates, research, and educational opportunities.